This audio interview has been enhanced by software from www.speedupmymp3.com. MP3 your way, speed you control.
Hi, I'm Michael Sell, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online, downloadable audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
The best part about USA Today is every time I've gotten a client in there, almost always other media outlets, especially TV outlets, tend to want to do a story on it because USA Today is sort of the gold standard of what America wants to read. So we got calls from every major TV outlet. I had to juggle it around, pick and choose. They all wanted exclusives, so we made a decision as to who would do the best job, and we actually chose CNN. And about a week later, CNN filmed for 2 full days at a resort, one of the doctor's clients, and it made it into about a 4-minute segment that was shown thousands of times nationally around the world.
Whoa.
Hi, it's Michael Sound with Michael Sound's HardToFindSeminars.com. Get ready because here's a very detailed interview with an expert on publicity. Her name is Margie Zabel-Fisher. Margie, the author of the Do-It-Yourself Public Relations Kit, is a contributing writer to Entrepreneur.com. Her articles on public relations and publicity have appeared in numerous publications. It's helped hundreds of professional, small, and medium-sized business owners and managers achieve positive results through her Do-It-Yourself PR workshop and materials. Margie and her team have helped clients land local and national publicity placements, including USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, The Associated Press, The Today Show, Good Morning America, Oprah, CNN, CNBC, Fortune Small Business, The Boston Globe, The Los Angeles Times Incorporated, Inc. Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, More Magazine, Redbook, Woman's World, and many others. She is the editor and publisher of the popular weekly online PR Alerts, which features free publicity opportunities, tips and ideas that show you how to use PR to grow your business. So in this interview, you're going to hear me extract case studies from Margie's private files. You're going to hear me grill her on all the inside secrets of how to get free PR. You're going to hear how to handle the media. And you're going to hear how you can take whatever product or service you have and get out there and get your own free publicity, saving you thousands and thousands of dollars of advertising expenses. Now get ready and let's get going. So, Margie, why don't you tell me a little bit about your history? How is it exactly that you got into this whole public relations thing?
About 7 years ago, I had the opportunity to move with my company to another part of the country or stay here and take a buyout package. And at the time, we were living in South Florida.
Who were you working with?
At the time, I was working for Verizon Wireless, and I had moved quite a bit in my career with different companies, and my husband and I had ended up in South Florida. We loved it, and we were tired of moving. So he actually said, you know what? You should just take the buyout and start your own business like you've always wanted to. So I started my business initially, and I had really most of my experience in the marketing area. So I started out doing marketing, and then I was real interested in public relations. So I started looking around to learn about PR because I figured, why not try and do PR as well? So I had looked around for information and tried to find books and courses and that sort of thing on PR and found a little bit here, a little bit there that was great. And finally learned how to do PR, started doing it, started working with small businesses, which I love doing, and ultimately decided to create my own product, the Do-It-Yourself PR Kit, which is something I think we'll be talking about today.
When people hear PR, you know, you can't take it for granted. A lot of people don't even know what PR is. How would you describe PR? What does it stand for in simplest terms for the layman? What does it mean? What is PR?
Well, that's a really good question. First of all, PR is very mysterious to a lot of people, and there's many different definitions of it, but why don't I go ahead and give you what my definition is of it, which is public relations is the ability to get known in a positive way, both to your target market and your community. And there's actually tactics you can do to get positive PR. Some of those tactics include writing a guest column, becoming a public speaker, participating in events, and, of course, getting publicity.
So what is it you do? Are you a PR agent where you charge small businesses money to help get them publicity or public relations?
That's one of the things I do, yes. I believe all businesses change and morph depending on the times and what they want to do and that kind of thing. But one of the things we do that we actually specialize in is getting small businesses publicity, primarily national publicity. But I've also written products and created products and programs so that they can do their own publicity and PR. The difference between the two is that publicity is one aspect of public relations. It's what most people think PR is because everyone talks about getting PR for your business. But publicity actually refers to getting coverage in the media without paying for it. Really, that would be editorial coverage. So if someone writes an article about your company in the newspaper, that's publicity. Or if you have a TV segment that talks about a new medical procedure you're doing, that's publicity. It's different than advertising because you don't pay for it and you don't have control over the message.
Can you give me a case study from maybe one of your previous clients, how you were able to get them free advertising or free press in the description that you're describing for public relations? Put it into a case study or an example?
Yeah, tons of them in the kit, but let me give you one of my favorites, and that would be, in a perfect world, from a publicity perspective, it would be great to have the hottest product or the newest medical breakthrough, because those are really pretty easy to promote. But what I find is, most of the time, we're not that lucky. A business owner obviously thinks their product or service is great, but the media is very cynical. They're used to hearing all kinds of stories, so they're always looking for something new or unique with a twist. So most of the time, we have to get creative and create angles for the media that they'll be interested in. So I had a client, gosh, it was actually pretty early on when I started the business. I believe it was in 2002. I had a client, a real young guy in his early 30s, real go-getter doctor, and he specialized in doing hair transplants, the surgical kind. Very, very high-end, you know, $8,000 or $10,000 procedure. And he was really interested in getting national press because he wanted to have a national practice. And he had started to have some people coming from around the country, around the world, actually to South Florida, to get this procedure. So we started brainstorming, and I said, you know, we're very fortunate to be living in South Florida. It happens to be a great place for people to take a vacation. And I said, do some people come and kind of pretend they're taking a vacation and then just go back? Because you can't really see hair stuff being done. It's like a six-month gradual process of growing in. So no one would really know you had the procedure. So I said, would people just pretend they had a vacation and come back? And then, you know, 6 months later, the hair would be growing in, but no one would be the wiser. And he said, yeah, sure, that's happened. And I said, well, then let's create a hair restoration vacation.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So he said, quick, let me get the domain name, which, of course, wasn't taken 6 years ago. And we got that, and we created this sort of luxury vacation package where you could tell everyone that you were going on a vacation to actually Boca Raton, Florida, and it would be a vacation because we hooked up with a very high-end resort and a private jet service and all kinds of fancy things, but you'd actually get the procedure done during that time as well, and no one would be the wiser. So it was really kind of fun and funky. It's something creative that I came up with, and it got the attention and interest at USA Today.
All right, so first, let me ask you this. That was the concept, okay? I want to talk about USP, and if USP fits in with what we're talking about, would you say that when you tried to come up with a concept for this client, the USP was important? You're looking for something, an angle, that separates him from all the other hair transplant surgeons. Would you say that's correct?
Nope. Give you the distinction.
Okay, give me the distinction.
To come up with a story angle, I list around 13 or 14 different angles the media likes. In this case, this was sort of a quirky angle. We came up with a concept, a type of program that this particular doctor offered. It wasn't the only thing he offered. It was something that we created so that we could have something the media would be interested in writing about. His UFP would be something totally different than that. Unique selling proposition would be, which I do cover in the book, it wouldn't have been that. It would have been something more foundational to just saying, like, the most advanced techniques or the top surgeon or something that's more of a foundation versus a particular angle or part of his business.
Do you ever get into that with your clients?
Yeah.
You do?
I've spent 6 months with a client on UFP.
Really?
Yes.
Do you need that before you're able to work with a client for public relations?
Yes.
Like, in this case, you didn't need to have his UFP done to promote him.
Well, you know, that was early on. I had more time, and I was willing to, you know, spend a lot of time with people. But nowadays, I ask people if they have one, because it actually helps us all focus. So I'm a pretty good proponent. If I were to do it again today, I probably would have started that way. It doesn't mean that I would have always used that in every story angle. So I think it's really important to be cognizant of that for all your PR activities.
All right, let's go back to his story. So what is it you did specifically? What were the first steps you did once you had your story angle before you sent it out to the media? And I want you to take me step by step through the process of how you got him that interest in, was it USA Today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so take me through the steps, what you did as a PR expert for this client. What did you do next after you discussed the story angle?
Okay, so we discussed it, and I had to make sure with him that everything was in place. So he had to create the domain name, register it, and he had to put up a quick website with the whole concept. So it took about a week or two, actually not that long, to make some contacts with the top resort, with a jet company, just to kind of explain to people what this was about, and also for the media, if they had any questions, we wanted them to have a website. And I still believe in that today. You must have a website for anything you're trying to promote. Within a couple weeks, all of that was done, and I wrote a press release, one of my favorites, actually, and I'm actually in this kit as well. And I sent it to someone at USA Today who really liked it.
Yeah, how did you send it? Did you mail it? Did you fax it, or did you email it?
Email. I've been emailing since I started this business.
So people on the other end who are looking for stories like email the best?
Yes, 99.9%, absolutely.
Fax is dead?
Fax is dead. Occasionally snail mail, but rarely. Email is the way, but you must remember to cut and paste a document. Do not send it as an attachment. They will delete it thinking it's a virus or they don't want to clog up their folder or whatever.
That's great advice. Paste your Word document into the email.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you emailed it to a contact you already had?
No, brand new one, actually.
How did you get the contact? Tell me, how did you find it and how did you know who to send it to?
I could have done it in a couple ways, but in this case, I happen to be a subscriber to USA Today, which, in my opinion, is the best way. If someone subscribes to a media outlet or watches a TV show a lot, you become familiar with it. There was a particular reporter who tended to work on some kind of funky travel-related stories, which I thought this could be, and I targeted her because I knew she tended to write those stories. So I just pitched her cold, and she liked it.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. What happened? How did you know she liked it?
I actually called her first. I forgot I did that. I'm looking through my notes because it's in my case study. I called her first to see if she was interested. She was. Then she told me to send the press release, which I did. Then she told me to follow up with her a few days later, and there were fires in California. Again, this was 6 years ago. And she was busy traveling around for about a week. She told me to follow up after that. So I did. When she was back, she was still interested, asked me to set up an interview with the client, which we both participated in. She interviewed him for about 20 minutes on the phone, and then the story came out the next week on a Friday in the Life section.
That was National USA Today?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so tell me, when that story came out, did you see it online, or did you go buy a paper? Who saw it first, you or your client?
it?
Well, I get it. I'm a subscriber.
Okay, so you get it. How big of a story was it?
If you ever noticed the weekend edition of USA Today, the Friday edition, in the Destinations and Diversions, it was one of the three left-hand front page sections. So it was probably three or four paragraphs. But what happened was my client got tons of phone calls. He was the one who immediately started getting phone calls real early in the morning, both from the media and from potential clients and all kinds of other people that read it and thought it was great.
So it was only like a three-paragraph story?
Yeah, but the best part about USA Today is every time I've gotten a client in there, almost always other media outlets, especially TV outlets, tend to want to do a story on it because USA Today is sort of the gold standard of what America wants to read. So we got calls from every major TV outlet. I had to juggle that around, pick and choose. They all wanted exclusives, so we made a decision as to who would do the best job. And we actually chose CNN. And about a week later, CNN filmed for two full days at a resort, one of the doctor's clients. And it made it into about a four-minute segment that was shown thousands of times nationally and around the world.
Whoa.
Plus tons of other media outlets. But, you know, those are the two sort of key points. Dorothy St. CNN and his business, of course, is thriving still today.
It is, and that was 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So the type of publicity he got all started from a phone call and a press release and some follow-up by you.
Yeah.
And it mushroomed into national newspaper USA Today. And how many other stories followed after that? And how soon did the other ones come calling after they saw it in USA Today?
We probably got 15 calls that day from media, everything from radio stations, local and national, to TV and everything.
Were you handling all that as the agent?
Yeah, actually, we hadn't really thought about it. I think I was doing something on a performance basis for him at the time. So we kind of played it by ear. I think he got the world's greatest deal ever.
So you were surprised, too?
Yeah, I was surprised by that. I wasn't really sure it would work, but it was a very pleasant surprise.
Okay, you said something where the other media outlets were calling and they wanted exclusives. Why would other media want an exclusive on a story?
Most national media outlets, of any note, will always want an exclusive. And what that means is they want to be the ones to break the story first.
What does that mean for them?
That means that people can say, hey, they got the cool story first. And then sometimes other media outlets don't even want it, unless it's a huge political or news story. If it's a funky feature that someone else has, they might not want it unless they get it first, and if they're the only one.
So give me an example with this client. Who were some of the media outlets that wanted the exclusive?
CBS Early Show, Today Show, Good Morning America, CNN.
How did you come to that decision of who would get that? What did you negotiate? Do they offer money for an exclusive?
No, not at all. If it was some crazy story about a celebrity or something, perhaps. But no, for the most part, that's not the point. The point is that they're willing to do a story on you, and at the time, CNN was really very eager, and because they also broadcast through a couple hundred outlets in the U.S. and then more throughout the world, and we knew that things could play over and over again, we figured we'd have much more extensive, continuous coverage by going to CNN, and we were right. We made the right decision.
Okay, so when you and your client decide who you're going to give the exclusive to, you want to make that decision based on the one who's going to give you the most exposure.
Exactly.
Will the media outlets, you know, if you say, what can you do for me, will they describe what they can do for you?
Well, you know, you have to kind of walk a tightrope a bit there, because they could get annoyed.
Yeah, you're just one story. There's plenty of other stories.
There's plenty of other stories, but I did ask, and CNN committed that their Miami bureau chief would come and that they would spend 2 days filming, and I knew they wouldn't really devote those resources unless they were serious. Plus, the anchor at the time, who was Paul Zahn at that time, wanted to do the story. So I knew that it was likely it would turn into something, because there's always the possibility that they could film and nothing would happen. But luckily, it didn't happen. The segment was great. It was very tongue-in-cheek. The bureau chief wrote a terrific, funny segment, and it worked out perfectly.
So let me ask you, the other ones who wanted the exclusive, did they run with the story even though they didn't get the exclusive, then, will they?
Nope, not at all.
So the media, when they come after a story and they want the exclusive, they either get it or they're not going to run with it.
Well, that's not a guarantee. I mean, if it was the kind of story that they still wanted, I'm sure they could still go after it, but this particular one was so quirky and feature-ish that it was a one-shot deal.
So they're calling because they want to lock out everyone and get the exclusive, and that's valuable to them. That's a great success story.
Yes, that's one of my favorites. Thank you.
Did you get lucky? Is this business part luck or more perseverance? What would you say to that? Was that your big hit? Have you had some case studies like that as successful as that, or is that your best one?
I've had some as successful as that. That just was sort of really fun and funky kind of one. It was just fun. Part of it was that I had a client that was willing to be open-minded and flexible, which unfortunately doesn't happen too much, who was willing to see that this was fun, whereas other clients would think that that would demean them or something, you know, to have kind of a fun, funky story about a vacation. So it really depends on what people are willing to do and how flexible they are. And then I wrote a great pitch, I have to say. It was really fun. The title of this particular release was, I went to Florida on vacation and all I got was a new head of hair. It's one of my favorites. So, you know, get them to open the email. It just was a lot of fun.
What are some typical mistakes that do-it-yourselfers are making when it comes to PR and press releases?
I would say don't use the USA Today example I just gave as being typical, because it was really atypical in terms of how quickly things were and how she was immediately interested. Within a couple weeks we had the story done. It's very unusual. Sometimes it takes a while to actually get publicity. It's taken me, for some clients, years for someone, even when they express an interest in something, for a media person, for us to get through the whole process, and then for something to show up in the media. So time is a big factor. Some other mistakes that do-it-yourselfers make when they're doing their own PR is not being flexible when the media comes calling. And I kind of mentioned that in terms of being open-minded about story angles, but I've even had a lot of people say, I don't want to tell the media this information. It's very private. I'm a private company. I don't want to let them know my revenues. I don't want to let them know my age. I don't want to do that. And what I tell them is, this has actually precluded several of my clients from getting publicity, because the media expects you to be forthcoming. And of course, you don't want to tell all your competitors or everyone what your revenues are, but sometimes they need to know that just to make sure you're a credible source. So being forthcoming is a big issue, and also being available and flexible, even when scheduling interviews. I've had clients that are very frustrated when the media asks to speak to them at weird times, maybe at night or the weekend, or they have another meeting. And the whole point is, as you've mentioned before, if the media waits for no one, there's always another story. This is not the story of the year. They may be interested, but if you're too difficult to get a hold of, or if you're not forthcoming in your information, they'll go on to the next story in the next.
Okay, that makes sense. What are some tips for do-it-yourselfers when it comes to following up on your efforts to get PR?
I think follow-up for do-it-yourselfers and for PR folks who are in business doing PR is actually the number one biggest issue. The number one biggest problem is follow-up. Lots of people don't realize that just because you talk to a media person or you send them an email, and even if you've gotten interest, even if you've had an interview, that's really just the beginning. Media people are very busy. There's always breaking news. There's other things going on. They're being pulled in different directions. So even if they're interested in your story, they can totally drop the ball or even forget about you. So you may be twirling your thumbs thinking, why hasn't my story come out? And they're not even on the same wavelength as you. They're onto something else. So you sometimes have to check in with them periodically and remind them and say, hey, remember me? You talked to me. You were interested. What are the next steps? Can we talk? Can we schedule a time for this to come out? There's lots of things involved in follow-ups, including phone calls, which lots of people hate.
So what is your method for following up? Phone only? Phone and email? Phone, mail, letter, fax? What's your formula?
There's so many ways to do this, and I'm a pretty big believer in phone calls. I'm a phone person. I actually believe if you can, you should always try to make a phone call first, which everyone hates to do to the media because sometimes media people are grumpy and they're on deadline and they don't want to hear from you. But I have to tell you, I'm seeing less and less in terms of phone calls that I'm making and people are making back to me in the media and more email communications. In fact, I've had placements in major national media outlets in the last couple months where I've never had a phone call. Everything is done via email with people that I've known and others I've never met. So I would say email for sure, but pick up the phone if you can when necessary.
Can we talk about another case study? I know the hair vacation was your favorite. What's your next favorite case study that would be a good illustration for the listeners?
One of my other favorite case studies, again, it's detailed in the Do-It-Yourself PR kit, is about the owner of a very high-end concierge company, a company that specialized in one-of-a-kind travel packages. Very, very high-end, but things that regular people could take advantage of.
Tell me this. As a PR expert, how'd you find this client?
They actually found me because over the years I've gotten PR for myself in terms of I've gotten publicity locally and nationally, and that's how I get a lot of business. People find me.
Okay, so they contacted you and said, I'm looking for some PR help.
I'm looking for PR help, and when I learned that he offered people high-end opportunities to mingle with celebrities, where they could go to the Oscars and fashion shows and stuff, I knew it was, again, pretty fun stuff. And again, he wanted to do something on a pay-for-placement basis, which is something that my firm is known for.
Pay-for-placement. Don't let me forget about asking about that. We'll talk about that later. Go ahead.
Okay, so we decided to work together. The company had just closed a deal, this was in 2004, to become the official concierge of the Grammy Awards, and I thought this was a really good jump start to get us some publicity. So we used that and some other kind of fun stuff that the owner did, including some really interesting experiences, and I actually pitched this to Entrepreneur Magazine.
Okay, how did you pitch it?
Again, I've been working with Entrepreneur Magazine for a long time. I've been a subscriber for a long time. And I found a contact there that I worked with, and I called her up. I told her about the story, and she liked it. So I sent her some information, and they covered that particular story. But in terms of other media outlets, over a two-year period, I also got the client coverage in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Worth Magazine, Entrepreneur Magazine, of course, Florida Trend, the Orange County Register, the Palm Beach Post, Deco Drive, and some other smaller ones.
Did it work like your first case study with the hair vacation guy where you got into, was Entrepreneur what you got into first?
Yeah, and the other ones were separate.
So the other ones were separate. So it wasn't like you hit Entrepreneur and everyone came calling?
Nope, totally different.
So when you got Entrepreneur, what did Entrepreneur run with?
They ran a profile of his business, which is something they'll do usually about interesting businesses. So that was the angle that, you know, it was kind of a funky, interesting business. The Wall Street Journal is a little frustrating because we came very close to getting a front page story, but my client wouldn't let anyone know some of his celebrity names, so they wouldn't run the story. So after that, we had a roundup story about a year later on different kinds of travel experiences.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindsonars.com. Did your client see some results from the Entrepreneur story?
Oh, yeah, he did. There's a couple ways that people can measure PR. It's always been tricky.
Okay, how do you measure your results?
There's many schools of thought. My personal feeling is in a couple of ways. One, obviously, if you get direct contact from people saying, I saw your story, I'd like to know more about your product and services, and I may be interested in buying, that in a perfect world is always the easiest way to measure something. But there's lots of other ways. One way is to measure the number of visitors to your website, because a lot of times, even if your website is not included in an article, people will always find you, because it's real easy to do a Google search and find your company. So if you see a spike in traffic, that's one way to know that there is an increase in interest for people. Another thing that it does is it allows you credibility. Anytime you've been in a name publication, meaning a top-tier, well-known, recognizable media outlet, you can use that information on your website as you're talking to clients. I actually had another client who we had gotten publicity for. He wanted to get his book published. He was a financial advisor. He still is. And the fact that he had gotten publicity in a bunch of top-tier media outlets made the publisher feel like he was a really good prospect for a book, and that's why they gave him the contract, because of the credibility factor. The way to measure PR really runs the gamut from increasing your credibility with lots of different types of people to actually getting sales from that particular media exposure.
Okay, before we get off too much on this subject, I want to go back to this case study, and I want you to tell me the method of how you actually got the initial PR with Entrepreneur Magazine. Your other case study, you picked up the phone and called first. Do you remember how you did this one specifically?
I did the same thing, actually, with this lady. I told him I'm kind of a big phone person, as I mentioned. So I tend to call people even if I don't know them.
What do you say? Give me a script. Let's say I'm Entrepreneur Magazine, and you want to pitch a story. How would you pitch it? Or what would you say initially? You just tell them who you are, what you have going, and, I mean, give me an example if I've never called someone to introduce a possible story.
It's a really good question. If I don't know the person, which happens most of the time, I do mention and include some phone scripts and conversations in a kit, but I'll just go ahead and role play this with you. Let's just say I was calling someone. Let's say this person's name is Jane Doe, who's a reporter I've never talked to. I would call her up. She would answer. Probably she would say, Jane Doe, Daily News.
All right, I'll be Jane Doe.
You want to be Jane Doe?
Yep. Jane Doe, hardtofindseminars.com.
Hey, Jane, give it up 30 seconds for me.
Who's calling?
This is Marcy Fisher, and I have a great idea for a story for your Blunt Buster section.
Okay, what?
We have about 30 seconds.
Okay, 30 seconds, yeah.
Okay.
Is that what you'll get? I mean, look, they're looking for stories, aren't they? That's their job.
You know what? They get a lot of good stories.
They do. Do these people view you as an intrusion, or are you welcome? Generally, what do you feel out of all the calls you make?
There are some people that I have great relationships with, and sometimes they're just grumpy, busy, or whatever.
Right, so you really got to get their attention and tell what's in it for them.
What's in it for them? You know, if you're prepared and do your homework, then usually I'll actually have something written in front of me, because sometimes when you're on the phone with someone, you don't need to actually follow the phone script verbatim, but in case you have a brain fart or something, you know you only have 30 seconds with them, you want to be able to have something to jog your memory. So you'll keep a couple of key points, but the thing is, if you call someone and you're prepared and you know what this would be good for, whether they write a type of story, whether they write certain areas in a section that your product or service would be good for, if you can immediately let them know that you've done a little homework and figured out where this might fit, they're obviously going to feel better than you just pitching something wildly that you have no idea is right for them or not.
And they're going to be more apt to listen. If you're doing the work for them, you're going to hand them a great story, you're going to have it practically written for them. You're saving them time and you're making them look good, right?
Exactly. And the other thing I do, only when it's real, not when I'm being fake, because I don't believe in being fake. Once in a while, if I'm a subscriber, recently I called someone I had never spoken to at a magazine that I get, a woman's magazine. Say her name is Jane Doe. Jane, before I even say anything, I want you to know I love your magazine. I get it every month. I'm a subscriber, and you're doing a great job. I know that sounds kind of hokey, but it's true. And she was just so happy to hear that I didn't even go into my normal, do you have 30 seconds, because they're always in a hurry. It was just like, you know, here's a legit compliment, and she's so happy to talk to me, and she could have talked to me all day. That might not have happened, but if you genuinely feel positive, I can tell you the media does not get that many kudos, and they tend to be fairly underpaid.
They're underpaid, overworked. They get very little appreciation.
But most people, if there's a true compliment you could give them, if they wrote a great story, if you love the magazine or me or whatever, you know, saying something nice will never hurt you. That's another thing you can always ease in with.
Okay, I like that. Why don't we go back to our script?
Okay.
This is Jane Doe. Yes, I have 30 seconds. Let's do the 30-second one. I do have 30 seconds. What do you got?
Well, are you still working on the Swamp Buster series about businesses doing well in a downturn?
Yes, I still am.
Great. Well, I have a local company. Let's just assume she's a local newspaper. That has been growing by 50% a year for the last 2 years. So even in a downturn, they're doing well. They've done it in a couple of interesting ways, which I can tell you about, or I can just send you the story via email, whichever you prefer.
Okay. What responses do you get? Do they say, tell me more?
Yeah, I have a minute, because sometimes they're really busy.
Yeah, okay, sure. I have a minute. Tell me about it.
Okay, great. Well, this is a jewelry company that has had a double whammy, where they didn't just have to deal with the economic downturn, but they're dealing with the crazy prices of commodities for gold and platinum. So both of those things would normally take an incredible hit on their business, but they actually did something really interesting that I think your readers could learn about, and that's launching a new lower-end brand with a metal they developed that is just as strong as those high-end metals, but it's made from steel. And their sales have been going like gangbusters, and it's a real positive story about how being creative in this downturn is a way that people can actually not just do okay, but actually do better than they had done before. Is that something you think your readers would like to hear?
That could be. Why don't you send it to me on email and I'll look at it.
Okay, great. Would it be okay if I follow it up with you, say, Friday around 10 o'clock?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay, great. I'll get that right after.
All right, so you get their permission, they review it, and generally, are they pretty blunt? Well, they say, no, I'm not interested in that.
Oh, sure.
They'll say, that could be. Send it to me in email.
Yeah, I mean, there's no 100% either way. Some of them just want to be done with you and say, yeah, whatever, and they'll ignore you later. But most of the time, they don't want to waste their time or your time in showing interest, not really interested.
You did that with this client, the concierge service with Entrepreneur, similar to that?
Yeah, I mean, I just happen to have a current pitch that I remember. That's why I used the Flump Busters idea, because that's an actual client. But yeah, the concierge, I called up. Again, it was a little different because I knew the media contact. I've known her for many years. So I basically said, I have a really cool company, I gave her a line or two, and then I sent the details in the pitch. But I used the angle of what I mentioned earlier, that they were the official concierge of the Grammys, to give it a reason for them to do it now, because sometimes interesting concepts is something that people call an evergreen story, so that if they ever have time, they could just run a story about it. But another tip is, if there's any way you could tie in your story to a particular date that's upcoming or now, it gives the media a good reason to do it now versus later. And that's a real key thing, because people say, well, I have a great story, this is really interesting. Well, okay, but why should they do it right now? Well, because my story's interesting. No. Does it tie into politics? No. Does it tie into the downturn or gas prices? No. Is it a holiday story that people are going to know? Okay, well, you know, you got to be in tune with what short and long-term deadlines are for different media outlets, and be cognizant that they want things that they have a reason to write right now, other than things being interesting.
And I want to go over those angles shortly, but I want to ask you this. Can you tell me some underutilized publicity tactics and relate it to this Entrepreneur magazine? Because I know celebrity is one of them, and that perfectly relates to the Entrepreneur case study that we just talked about.
Absolutely. Some underutilized tactics. Celebrity is definitely an underutilized tactic. And I say underutilized because even if you laugh and say, oh, you get People magazine, you read Star magazine, you watch Entertainment Tonight, well, guess what? The huge John Q public, or the general public in this country, is obsessed with celebrities. And if people are obsessed with celebrities and the media knows it, they're going to be predisposed to covering stories that include a celebrity angle. So the best part is realizing that that's true. And once you accept that, you can have a couple of different feelings. One is, oh my God, there's no way a celebrity could ever endorse my product, like my product, I could never get to a celebrity, whatever. And another could be, okay, celebrity's great, how can I find a way to get a celebrity to say something nice about my product? And there's a couple of ways you can do that, but lately I've been talking to people and I realize this is really true when it comes to celebrities. Are you familiar with the concept of 6 degrees of separation?
Yeah, I remember that movie.
The idea is that you can pretty much connect with anyone within 6 different connections in your own network. And I'm finding sometimes that's even less nowadays because people are so connected through different social networks and the internet, that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what, almost everyone can find an A-list celebrity to connect with somehow if they really think about it. And when I say A-list celebrity, I mean someone who is very well known to the public. If you mention that celebrity's name, 80% of people will know who you're talking about. And I say that only because it's nice to have other celebrities that like your product. That's really nice. But if you're looking for kind of a home run in terms of publicity, you really need A-listers to be a part of your product or service. So I would say 6 degrees of separation. And the other thing is, there's a great database that I use called Contact Any Celebrity.
Tell me about that. What is it?
It's very inexpensive. You get a 7-day trial for $1. And basically, it gives you all the contact information for celebrities, publicists, agents of these celebrities, so you can find ways to be in contact with them.
Can you email them or mail them?
Sure.
And they give you phone numbers and all that?
They give you all that.
The actual personal contact information for the actual celebrity? Or does it all go through their agent?
Yeah, most things go through their agent or publishers. But still, if you can get to them, then really that's the hard part.
Wow.
Making sure you have a great product.
And the agents are looking for deals for their clients?
You know, celebrities like to get free stuff. They like to know about things. They're just like regular people. I mean, who wouldn't?
That's a great resource. So what's the URL on that again?
ContactAnyCelebrity.com.
While we're on resources, before you continue, give me another good resource for PR people.
I have a media contact database for if you're trying to promote a product. It's giftlistmedia.com.
Okay. What do they do?
It's a database of all the product editors and contacts.
Oh, wow, of all the products.
They call it the gift list because, like, right now we're heavy into picking holiday gift guides, so all the product people are in there.
Okay, very interesting. All right, let's go back to some underutilized publicity tactics.
Another underutilized publicity tactic is controversy. And I'll say that the media really loves colorful, controversial characters, but most people are afraid to be that way because they think they're going to turn people off. But I'll tell you, the media really loves that. So if by some chance either you are controversial or you have a controversial stance or contrarian view to what's popular right now, and of course if you're just kind of a wild and crazy character, they really love it. So I would say flaunt that. Don't be afraid to be controversial. And then another utilized tactic, one of my personal favorites, probably because it involves some creativity, would be contests. Now, again, I work only with small businesses. And whenever I try and come up with the idea that we should do a contest, most small business owners will say, that's really complicated, it's probably going to be expensive, I don't want to deal with it. And I can say, I've done enough of them that they're really pretty easy to set up. So I just want to mention that contests, again, look at human nature. The public loves celebrities. The public loves contests. There's so many contests. Basically, the presidential race is a contest. The Olympics is a contest. People love contests. So find a way to create a contest for your business. I've created contests for product companies and for service companies. In fact, I mentioned one of my fun contests was a local brownie taste-off, where we had a bunch of judges to taste the best brownie. One of my clients made brownies, obviously, and that was a lot of fun. Then, on the total other side of the coin, I have a company who sells diabetic supplies to diabetic patients, which you wouldn't obviously think would be a good candidate for a contest. But these particular folks work a lot with people called diabetic educators. They were big influencers on where these people should buy stuff from, and the company knew that. And I said, well, why don't you hold something called the Diabetic Educator of the Year contest so you can gain credibility with that group and also, again, to provide a pat on the back to people, as usual, who are probably being underpaid and undercomplimented, doing great work, and that was also very successful.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, so you can do contests in any kind of business.
You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's
hardtofindseminars.com. Can a small business really get a lot of publicity? I mean, I thought only the big companies could when they get lots of media coverage, but you say you really only work with the small businesses?
Yep, I only work with small businesses.
Only small.
Because I spent most of my career working for Fortune 500 companies, and I was always frustrated by the part where you could only influence a very small area within the company. I wanted to be able to work directly with small businesses to really help them grow their businesses and get the best they wanted out of life.
So small businesses really can get a lot of publicity?
Absolutely. I've gotten quite a few of my small businesses a lot of publicity, and I've heard plenty of examples of other small businesses that have gotten publicity as well. Again, it takes a bit of effort and focus, but yeah, if you're willing to either have a great product or a great angle, you can definitely get great publicity, because the media always wants good stuff.
All right, let me ask you this. If a small business owner could only do one PR tactic, let's say, each month, what would you recommend they do for PR?
The number one issue I see with small business owners is that they're not really good at staying in contact with their current customers, with prospects, with referral sources, colleagues, whatever. And I find the easiest and most cost-effective way to do that is by creating a useful newsletter. And I say useful because there's a lot of newsletters out there that aren't useful. So you want to have something that at least people could hopefully find some use in, not just as a sales letter. Either you could send it via email or you can send a print version. But the key is it's not very intrusive, but it reminds people that you're there. And if they care to read it and open it, they'll also be reminded about all the good stuff you're doing or all the great information you're providing. So that's what I'd recommend if that's the only thing you can do every month.
Okay, let's say I want to give publicity a try on my own, and I've got some additional help, and I want to write a press release, and I want to think about some different angles. I know your do-it-yourself publicity kit covers a lot of these angles, but can we talk about maybe three or four of what you think are some of the most powerful angles that I could relate by watching the media that we see that are good angles to go and get stories on?
Absolutely.
What are a couple of your favorites?
Well, I'll talk about my favorites in terms of what I think are the most successful angles. The first one, for sure, would be tying into the current trends.
Does that have anything to do with the time element, giving them a reason to run your story before a certain time?
Absolutely, and we're recording this in September 2008, so specifically, there's a lot of media interest and actual requests when I talk to the media for products that have a political angle and anything related to the election, for sure.
So if I had an Obama t-shirt, something.
Preferably with a sort of twist, like maybe Swarovski crystal, something glamorous. I just ran across that today from one source looking for something glamorous.
What was it called?
Swarovski crystals.
Oh, Swarovski crystals.
Kind of glamorous.
Well, how does that tie into political?
A Barack Obama t-shirt with maybe crystals. It's a funky product that tied into politics. So that's an example. Or lots of other things that I'm seeing in the media and requests from, again, are regarding the current economic climate. How people are doing well, what are people doing to deal with gas prices, anything related to that.
So you have your list of clients currently. You're watching the news, you're watching the media, and you're constantly saying, how can I tie these stories I'm watching in with my client?
Yeah, that's always the first thing. And again, you put it perfectly. There's a time element here. There's two things, actually, that are working here in your favor. One is the timing is right because the media is already writing about stuff like this. And secondly is that the media is supposed to write about these events, but they actually get bored writing about the same old, same old. So if you give them something along those lines but with a twist, they're going to be much more interested in it at this time. I would say that's my favorite, tie in with current trend or news opportunity. My second favorite, a close second, would be a new product, a new service, or a new book. I guess it's kind of obvious. The media is looking for news, hence the word new. And anytime something is new, it's automatically moving up the list in terms of media interest. Now, again, if it's a new product or service or book that's crummy, it's not going to fly. But assuming it's something decent, they're going to want to hear about it, especially if it's something that no one else has done anything like or that presents an angle or something unique or twist.
All right, what's another angle that you think is a good way to go?
I really love controversy. I'm always trying to convince my clients to take kind of a controversial angle. Again, the media is already interested in controversial angles. They love presenting different sides. So anytime they come up with something controversial, then that's something I do recommend.
Do you have a case study where you've done some controversial type media for one of your clients that we could talk about?
One of my team members does a lot of work with kind of a controversial trial lawyer. Some of my clients, that's actually confidential. But I can tell you that recently we put out a pitch that we're working on for one of my clients that has slightly controversial angle in terms of one of the presidential candidates. I can't really go into it, but it is a bit controversial and it is interesting.
Is it getting results?
Still too new, but we expect it to.
Let's do one more. One more angle for the listeners that they should consider using when strategizing their PR tactics.
One that's not very well known would be surveys. I'll tell you that the media loves to talk about surveys or studies. And nowadays, there's all kinds of things like SurveyMonkey and real inexpensive ways to do surveys through your website that you can actually collect this information and provide it to the media. They love to report on that stuff. They love anything quantitative. Even if you're a wedding site and you talk about what percent of men want to be involved in the wedding process. You know, things like that, percentages, numbers. People like to read that. It's sort of fun filler stuff, but it's the kind of thing that can get you publicity.
Let's say I want to go and attack PR. I want to get PR for my hardtofindseminars.com, my recordings and stuff. Mm-hmm. Do I need a media kit? And what is a media kit and what's entailed in it? What should I have in it? And is it something that's sent out by mail or by email or fax or all of the above?
At this point, for the most part, unless you have a consumer product or a book, you can pretty much be okay with having an electronic media kit that you can keep on your website.
Okay, and what components are going to be included in my electronic media kit that you think are critical?
The critical component would be a biography of the business owner and or key executive. The second critical document would be a fact sheet that gives summary information about the company, number of employees, revenues, what you do, that sort of thing. A third would be what I call a backgrounder, which gives more detailed information on either how the company was started and or information on the industry and specifics. Basically, it's background info for media people that are looking for more. And then you can include a press release. You know, I go back and forth. I don't use press releases as much as I used to. Nowadays, unless there's a real specific reason to write it as a release, I tend to write very specific pitches directed to a specific person at a media outlet. But you can put press releases up there about new products or launches just because it's an easy way for people to get the info and even cut and paste, which the media loves to do. They love to cut and paste the info, which is another reason why it's good to have that on your website.
What about interview questions, question and answer sheets?
You could, but that's not something you'd have to have on your website or in your kit.
In your publicity relations kit, do you talk about specifically how to create a press release, something that goes out to the media, how long it should be, should it be double-spaced?
I have a section on that. I give a template and I give examples for every part of the release.
Tell me just three important factors when creating a press release, actually the formatting of it, the length and stuff like that, that are maybe misconceptions out there.
For press release, specifically not a pitch, right?
Right. And is that one of them? Make sure you're not pitching?
No. You can use a press release or a written pitch, which is a slightly different format, to pitch your product or service. You can use either one, but if you want to do a press release, basically what we recommend is keeping it to one page, making sure it's double-spaced in case they do print it out and want to make notes, having a really strong headline so that they want to read, making sure you're covering the who, what, when, where, why within, and making sure all your contact information is available in the release, email, regular phone, cell phone, even for nights and weekends.
So what are some of the services you're providing for your PR firm?
At this point, we have a couple of products and programs. Obviously, we have the do-it-yourself PR kit, which is what we're talking about today. It's 165 pages, and it's actually in its third edition. I just finished the third edition recently, so it's a very comprehensive step-by-step guide. Then we have some other products. We have something that I developed sort of on a fluke when a client asked me how to sell their product to Target. When I went to research that information, I couldn't find it, so I actually created a special report called How to Sell Your Product to Target Stores, which has been very successful as well. And actually today, good timing, Michael, I launched something called the Pitch of the Month Club, which allows consumer product companies to get from me each month a series of fill-in-the-blank pitches and tips and media contacts so that they can get their publicity pitching done by themselves inexpensively within a couple minutes each month.
Are you taking on any clients currently?
Oh, sure. We're always interested in new clients, and I also have a very strong referral network of other PR folks around the country and the world that I refer business out to if it's not a good fit for us. So always happy to talk to people interested in us doing PR as well.
How do you charge for your service? A per placement fee, did you mention?
Yes. We have a couple of different service offerings, everything from a fairly low monthly fee to something we're actually pretty well known for. We were written up in the Wall Street Journal about this last year. Called the Pay-for-Results Program.
Tell me about that, because that's definitely unique right there.
Yeah, it's pretty neat in that folks only pay us if we get placements, and they pay us per placement.
All right, so give me an example of how that works. Let's say I was to hire you.
Okay, if you were to hire me, there's a range of fees. Okay, and the fees take two things into account for each placement. One would be the length of the placement in terms of how much time in a broadcast or how many lines in a print media contact outlet, or either how many seconds or minutes in a broadcast or how much space in a printed outlet. That would be the first part. And the second would be what type of outlet it is. So, for example, a small mention in your daily newspaper would be a lot less money than a four-minute segment on the Today Show.
You've got a formula for pricing all that out?
We do. There are some changes, but roughly, at this point, anywhere from $1,000 to $8,000 is the range.
So, a four-minute segment on CNN or something, I'd pay $1,000 for something like that?
Right, at this point.
Where maybe a small mention in the newspaper could cost me what?
$1,000.
Okay. All right, that's interesting. That's the per placement method. Where traditionally, from what I know, the typical way PR firms charge, they'll charge you a retainer, a monthly retainer, and they'll sign you up for a contract of maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
Yeah, that's 99.9% of today's PR industry.
With no guarantee.
With no guarantee, right.
Did you ever use that model?
I have. I started out with that model, and I occasionally use it if it makes sense, and it does make sense in a couple of instances, but the vast majority of my clients either pay me on a pay-for-performance basis on a very specific recession buster program that I have going now, which is about $1,000 a month, or they buy the do-it-yourself product.
Okay, so someone who doesn't have the money and is a do-it-yourself type person or has staff on hand or an assistant who can implement these techniques, it's all in your do-it-yourself guide.
I have people who hand the do-it-yourself PR kit to their assistant. I've actually handed it to my interns and told them to figure it out and start pitching, and they do. It really includes everything.
See, that's great. That's what someone like me wants to do. I just want to get it and hand it to my assistant and say,
yeah,
do it.
Exactly.
Okay, so tell me, when someone orders the do-it-yourself public relations kit, what do they get with it?
There's two ways it can be ordered. One is they can order the electronic version in PDF format, and the other is the printed version that will send to you in the mail. They both have the same content.
How much is the electronic one? How much is the printed one?
The electronic is $97. The printed is $177.
I've got to pick your brain for a couple more resources. Are you in front of your computer?
Sure.
Okay, so look into your favorite sections. Tell me some other additional resources that you ordinarily wouldn't share with anyone that really helped you in your PR business, similar to some of the ones you just mentioned before.
I tend to share almost everything. But let me tell you some stuff I haven't shared with you yet. There's a great new source for free leads from the media. Have you ever heard of Help a Reporter Out?
Help a Reporter Out?
Mm-hmm.
No, but it sounds interesting. Tell me, what is it?
It's a great resource. The guy who created it, I believe, is a genius. It's basically a free email that comes out 3 times a day with media contacts looking for sources for stories. Free.
Is there a resource for reporters in newspapers and magazines all over the place? Mm-hmm. It's just reporters that I can find access to names of reporters all in one place.
Yeah, there's databases that I pay thousands of dollars a year for.
Okay, so give me the name of a database that I could have contact, and it's all up to date of existing reporters who are writing for different publications, different newspapers, different magazines on specific sections of the publication. They break it down?
Yeah.
Interesting. What's a database that I could do more research if that's something I wanted to subscribe to?
It used to be called Bacon, which you might have heard of.
Yeah, I've heard of Bacon's.
But a company took it over now called Cision, C-I-F-I-C-I-O-N.
And these are reporters?
Well, it's a web-based database of reporters on every beat of every media outlet.
Okay. Have you found it to be pretty accurate and useful?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I use it every day, but I'm in the business.
How do you use it? Give me an example of how you use it last.
Okay. I use it every day for a bunch of different reasons. Sometimes someone will give me a name of someone who's a new contact, and they won't give me their contact information, so I'll have to look it up. So I'll get their email and phone number and address stuff in this database. That's one way. I can also create lists. Let's say I have a new client, and I just want to pitch computer blogs. I can pull a list where I find contacts for computer blogs.
Okay, and so let's say you pull the list and then you either get on the phone and contact them about doing a story?
Blogs aren't a good example because that's a very specific thing. But let's just say I have a new client who published a new fitness book and I wanted fitness contacts at radio shows. I could create that list. Yeah, and depending on how much they're paying, how much time I have, what the thing is, I might either just send out a blast email to everyone with a pitch, or I might call maybe the big guys, talk to them about it, see if they want to be the first to break it, you know, to talk about the new book. From a PR perspective and how I would handle it might be different than if I were the client.
Okay. How have you viewed doing an email blast to names out of the old Beacon's database? Does that work good?
A lot of them I've worked with before. It's just an easy way for me to put it together in one place. Most of them, they'll know my name a lot of times, so they might open it anyway. But it's just an easy way to get all that together, because there may be a few outlets either I didn't know or someone might have changed and I didn't hear about it, because maybe I hadn't talked to that outlet in a while.
Is it a relationship business where you establish relationships with reporters and they'll run a story and the door's open for you to contact them about something else?
Every piece of PR person I know has those types of relationships. But then again, we always have to be open to contacting new people. Just to give you an example, the Entrepreneur Magazine contact I mentioned that I've known forever was recently laid off. And I can't tell you how many stories I've worked on with her, but she's not there anymore.
Did she move somewhere else? And does that happen? They'll move around?
They move around a lot. Media folks move around a lot, but there's another issue. But in this case, for Entrepreneur Magazine, you know, either I will have had to have made other contacts there, or I'll have to start from scratch and say, okay, who's taking over, because I'll still want to pitch them. So it's kind of a juggling act. You need to coddle the relationships, but you always need to be developing new contacts as well.
Okay, this has been great. We've got a lot of content here, and you've given a lot of great advice. So what's the best way for someone to contact you if they're interested in any of your services?
Really, I would go to my website first, check out what we have, learn about us. And that website would be www.zlikezebra, F like Frank, P like public, R like relations.com, ZFPR.com.
Perfect. So if anyone's interested in learning more about you, they can go to your website. And I really appreciate you taking the time and sharing some of these ideas and some of these angles and some of these great resources. I can't wait to check those out.
Well, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. That's the end of my interview with Marty. I hope this has been helpful. If you're interested in Marty's do-it-yourself public relations kit at a substantially discounted price for my listeners, please go to the link under this recording or go to your3pr.com. That's yourfreepr.com. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.